As I mentioned briefly in module one, I worked as a sales professional in the corporate world for 12 years before becoming a full-time freelancer. And you know what? I love sales, but one thing I always seemed to lack was a steady stream of good leads. And when you're a salesperson, leads are your lifeblood. You need a constant flow of good leads to keep you from having to make the cold calls that every salesperson hates making. And if your job hinges on meeting your sales quota every quarter, you need new leads all the time. Now, unfortunately, in every company that I worked with, the marketing department didn't seem to have the same urgency that I did. The leads they would give me weren't that great. They were actually worthless in many cases. So it wasn't long before I realized that if I wanted to put food on the table, I had to find my own leads. So I began sending warm emails, and I wrote a lot of sales letters to prospects at my own expense. And within a few short weeks, I had more sales leads than I could handle, and my sales shot through the roof. But here's what happened. When I studied my results, I found an interesting pattern. I noticed that only about 10% of the leads that I was generating were actually ready or willing to talk with me about my product. And that was no surprise, right? But what shocked me was how many of the other 90% or so, so the ones who weren't ready to buy when they first contacted me, how many of those ended up buying from me 3, 6, or 12 months later, as long as I stayed in touch in a low-key, value-added way. In fact, at one point, one-third of all my new business every year was coming from this group of not-ready-yet leads. So by staying on the radar screen in a non-threatening way, what I was doing is I was the first person they thought of when the timing was right. And as a result, the cost of my mailing efforts and the time I was spending doing that prospecting began to drop. I no longer needed to generate as many leads to make one sale, in other words. And I quickly rose to the top sales position in my own division for my product. Since then, I've implemented the same staying in touch strategy in my freelance business. And in fact, I found that much of the difference between just getting by and earning an executive level income as a freelance professional lies in what you do with prospects who are not ready to hire you today. According to Brian Carroll, the CEO of InTouch Inc. and an author of the popular book, Lead Generation for the Complex Sale, at any given point, only about 5 to 15% of your prospects for your services are either actively looking for or considering what you have to offer. But Carroll also notes that as many as half of the remaining 85 to 95% of leads will typically buy the services you provide, either from you or from one of your competitors, over the following 18 to 24 months. That's huge. Now, there's been more recent research on this topic, and one of them is from Forrester Research, which found that companies that excel at lead nurturing generate 50% more sales-ready leads at 33% lower cost per lead. And even though that research was done at the corporate level, my experience has been that the numbers can be even more dramatic for freelancers and service professionals. So in other words, the upside and the impact of staying in touch until the prospect is ready can be even greater when you're a solo professional or a small service-based firm. So what does all this have to do with warm email prospecting? Well, lead nurturing is important because even when you start dialogue with a prospect, there's a very good chance that they won't have a direct need that very moment. So if you don't have a way to stay in touch in a low-key, value-added way, you risk not having the prospect remember you when they do have a need in your area of expertise. So how do you solve this dilemma? Well, you solve it by creating a simple lead nurturing system that allows you to stay in touch in a relevant and non-threatening way over the course of, say, 6, 12, 18, sometimes even 24 months until they are ready to engage you. So what you need is a very simple lead nurturing system. And if you're going to adopt this, and I strongly suggest you consider it, and you do, there are really four key components to making this work. It doesn't need to be complex. This is actually very, very simple. The first thing you got to do is you got to develop or start compiling an information library. And this is going to be a library that's going to be kind of your starter content. You know, these are articles you may have written, reports or white papers that you've authored for this purpose that would serve or be relevant to your prospects. Success stories, it doesn't have to be yours, though. It could be third-party content, articles, reports, white papers, statistics, et cetera, that you come across as you do kind of your weekly or monthly reading on the industry and trends and so forth. Books. You may have a list of books that you think, hey, my prospects would be interested in reading this. I'm not saying you should buy every prospect a book, but you know what? No one throws away a book, right? Especially if you're a reader. You don't throw away books. So books, especially if it's someone on your hot prospect list, can be very, very effective as part of your lead nurturing strategy. Your library can also include news articles or news releases. Of course, these are going to have a shelf life, but you know, as you're going through your reading, you may want to add those. I find that Evernote, the software tool Evernote, is a great way to store and to keep track of and to easily clip items for your lead nurturing library. And you can learn more about Evernote at evernote.com. The second component of an effective lead nurturing system is using multiple forms of media. So don't just use email, use snail mail. Add the phone, and we have a whole lesson on phone follow-up here in the next module. But you know, add email, use email, add snail mail, add phone, vary the medium. I like to rotate them. So if I email you this month, next time I try you back in a couple of months, I may pick up the phone and leave a voicemail. That's fine. It's okay to leave a voicemail. And then the time after that, I might print something out and send it to you with a handwritten post-it note or a handwritten card. So vary the medium. And by the way, and this was something we'll touch on in module 5, learn to leave good, simple, short, relevant voicemail messages. So many times when I use the phone, I know that I'm not going to get the person, and that's fine. But a voicemail message can have the same impact, sometimes even a better impact. The third component of a powerful lead nurturing system is to leverage the power of frequency. So, you know, sending something about every 1 to 3 months is about right, depending on what you know about the prospect and the timing as far as the services you provide or the reason for leaking out of your sales funnel, the reason they ended up not hiring you. You know, so take all that into consideration when determining the frequency that you're going to contact them. But above all, keep your messages and your information relevant always. It's okay to send the same thing to a few different prospects, but just make sure that it's relevant to that prospect. Here again, try not to automate a lot of this. You know, try to resist the temptation to turn this into an automated process. This is another area where it does pay to kind of handcraft your outreach, to create very specific messages, very specific touch points for each prospect based on what you know about them. And the fourth key element of a successful lead nurturing system is to implement a simple contact management system. You know, it's simple spreadsheet might do, and I know that's how I started, but if you want to use a contact management system, and these days there's some great options there that are very cost-effective, very easy to use. Here's some ideas. HiRise, you can learn more about them at HiRiseHQ.com, and they're part of the Basecamp team of software tools. Contactually is very popular among many freelancers. It's very visual, very user-friendly. It's got some really cool integration with LinkedIn. And you can find them at contactually.com, as in contact, actually, combination of those two words, contactually.com. I had emailed the CEO of Contactually about a year or two ago because a lot of my coaching clients were using them. And I asked them if there's any way we can get some sort of discount for people who buy my programs or readers of my newsletter and so forth. And he did. He sent me a coupon code that at least of this recording, as of this recording, is still active as far as I know. And it's Freelancers Academy altogether. Freelancers Academy gets you 20% off the monthly or annual, I forget which, I think it's both, the fee for Contactually. All these are in the cloud. So all these services are basically pay as you go. It's a subscription-based model. I don't make anything from recommending these tools to you. I'm just passing on the savings that was passed on to me by their CEO. And the other one that seems to be very popular is Zoho.com. Zoho.com/CRM. C as in Charlie, R as in Robert, M as in Mary. Zoho, with a Z as in zebra, zoho.com/CRM. These are in your handout. I'll mention one more that's not in your handout, which is salesforce.com. This is the one I use. I think it's a little bit more, it's gotten better, but it's not as user-friendly as the others. But it's one that I use in sales in my last company. I was already used to it, so that's what I ended up adopting because I didn't want to go through another learning curve. I already knew how to use salesforce.com. I will tell you, though, that they're one of the cheapest out there, $60 a year or $5 a month. And if all you're looking for is very simple contact management, might be one to consider. So the idea is carve out time every week or every other week for this activity, for this lead nurturing activity. I like to do this on either Thursday or Friday afternoons for a couple of hours. Not every Thursday or Friday, every once in a while, but that's a quiet time here at the office for me. And I find that it's just easier to get it done that way. And then you want to create some sort of sequence for each prospect. And you can either do this formally in their contact record in your contact management system, or you could do it informally as you go about your lead nurturing follow-up every few weeks. You could just look at each one and go, where should I send them next? Let me look at my lead nurturing library. Is there something relevant there? Something that could be useful? Find something and then decide if and when are you going to send it. So there's an example of kind of an approach that you might decide to use for a prospect in the handout. And again, this is something that you can kind of make up as you go. I don't necessarily think that you should have a standard approach for each one, but this will give you an idea of what something like that might look like in terms of touch points, what you would send, how you would do it, the frequency and so forth for kind of a standard prospect who expressed interest but wasn't ready to engage you at that time. So some of the questions that I typically get asked is, you know, how long do you keep someone in your lead nurturing list? I say, look, it depends on what they've told you. It depends on what the follow-up is yielding in terms of feedback. But everything else being equal, 12 to 18 months is about right. And then assess at that point, at the 18-month period, and see if more is necessary or if this is just not really going to go anywhere. Again, can you automate this? A lot of people ask me, can you automate some parts of this? I understand what you're saying, Ed, but you know, I got 37 people in my list. You know, I would say no. Resist the temptation to automate. You want to handcraft these messages, even if you had 40 people in here. You know, if you break this up and do this for an hour or two every other week or even once a month, you can rotate through that list of 40. And about the schedule that I'm showing you here as a sample in the handout. So it doesn't really need to require a ton of time. I think it's better to handcraft each message because it forces you to think about each prospect in automation. There could be some slip-ups there. Some people ask me, does your newsletter count as a touch point? And I would say, yes, it can be a lead nurturing touch point, but I would do a newsletter on top of what you're doing with lead nurturing. I wouldn't use it as a substitute. I think that the lead nurturing, again, adds a personal touch to the dialogue, and the newsletter could just be just another touch point that you're doing anyway. And, you know, I wanted a couple of other resources that I wanted to point you to. One of them, actually just one, but I do have a key point I want to make sure comes across, which is that this stuff works. I know that it sounds great on paper, and some people wonder, well, you know, this stuff really work in practice, and it does. I get emails all the time, and I have a screenshot of one I got a couple of months ago from someone who implemented this because I suggested it a couple of years ago, and they recently landed a $200,000 project. It's the biggest one they've landed to date, and as a result of nurturing their prospects, and one particular prospect awarded her a $200,000 project. So this is an extreme example. I don't think these results are typical, but I wanted to show you, look, this stuff works. You don't see results all the time and you don't see immediate results. But I think over time, what you'll find is many of the prospects who weren't necessarily ready to engage you in a project at the time when they responded to your email, when you nurture them over the long haul and you do it right, this can really pay off. And you know, for those of you who are interested in more detail about lead nurturing, check out the PDF excerpt of my book, The Wealthy Freelancer, that I've included in this lesson. It's the entire chapter that I wrote on this idea of lead nurturing, and it goes much deeper into each component of the strategy that I just discussed.